Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
TBT, TBT, TBT.
I thought you were going to say TBD, like to be determined.
Well, it is, because you're about to hear what they are. Ooh. Thursday. Hope everyone's having a wonderful summer. It's not too hot, not too darn hot, but it's just hot enough for you to enjoy your summer reading.
I bought a hat.
I got to tell you guys, ladies and gentlemen, I told Rob a couple months ago, I guess now, you know, I was wearing a hat to work, because sometimes I wear a hat, you know, I wear a sensible little fedora, and I was like, Rob's like, oh, yeah, that's a nice hat. I said, Rob, you would look fantastic in a hat. And then, sure enough, we're Skyping right now, and he said, Kevin, surprise, and you guys, it looks so good. He looks incredible with this hat on. I love it. It's very stylish, very, dare I say, sexy. I'm a fan.
Does anybody still wear a hat?
And Rob Schneider does. He does, and he looks good in it.
Don't give it to me.
Still one of my favorite stories.
And I saw that performance. I think you were on that night.
You always like say twice. That. I wasn't on as Henrik, but I was definitely on stage while
I saw
happened.
You.
Oh, God.
That's so cool. It's so cool to think, like I saw you at some point.
We didn't know each other.
And now we know each other. Isn't that cool?
I know. I love that.
When I'm at home in L.A., I have this massive playbill collection. It's like over 500 playbills. And I go through them. And it's so fun to like look through and be like, oh, my God. Like, this person I saw, I'm now friends with.
Well, I find that, yes, that as well, or that you've worked with or what have you. But also with this podcast now, we've interviewed how many people, Rob? Like over 200 people, I'd say. What I love is, first of all, I love that everything in musical theater is you can enjoy something years later because you've learned a little bit more. So when you go back and read a book or listen to a cast recording, you have more context to it. But what I love is picking up an album and seeing the name of so many people that we've interviewed. It could be from the 50s or 60s or 70s, and it's like, oh, there's so-and-so. Oh, there's all these people. Or going to see Broadway shows and knowing, you know, a couple of the designers because we interviewed them. It makes it – you feel a part of it in a way, and I really love that. Yeah.
I think that's so cool. It's so nice. Yeah. We're all part of the same community.
I think so. It's a small community, but I love it.
I like it too.
Yeah, it really is special. Oh, speaking of the community, a couple months ago, Joan Copeland, who was one of our first interviewees, she celebrated her 97th birthday at Sardi's. And my wife's grandparents, who are friends with her, they went to the event. And also there was two of our former guests, Leroy Reams and Jim Brochu, which I think is fun. And they celebrated her, and she sang Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, which was one of her signature songs. And she's getting up there in years, but it was really special for everyone to be there and celebrate her. And I love seeing the pictures. Leroy posted some pictures on Facebook if you want to go check him out and check out those pictures. But it got me thinking, Rob, is that we don't really – I said to my family, I said, that's the last of the great old parties. You know, you're not going to – people don't go to Sardi's like the way that they used to. You don't have any opening night parties at Sardi's where you hear about how they read their reviews, and if they were good, everyone stood on the table and read them out loud, and if they were bad, everyone just filtered out of the restaurant without anyone saying anything. But we don't – I try to think of where's our theater hangouts that the kids go to. Where do the kids from, you know, Tootsie go and hang out? Do they go to Bar Central? I don't know. I don't think so. Nobody's gonna, you know, but
– it'll be like – like 50 years from now, they'll be interviewing like George Salazar, and he'll be like, I used to go to Haswell Greens. Do you kids remember Haswell Greens? And they'll be like, no, Mr. Salazar.
That's nobody does that anymore. Well, I just love that history. Like when Leroy took us to dinner that one time, and he, you know, we got to chat about that. And we sat in the middle of it. That's an old school event and feel. And I guess I sort of feel nostalgic for that kind of that world that you would just go hang out at the bar at Sardi's and you didn't know who you were going to run into, you know, in the business.
So true. And you know? I kind of like that still, like when you go to Sardi's or you go to Joe Allen's.
There's an element of that. Joe Allen's definitely more so. I feel like every time I've ever been to Joe Allen's, I've always seen someone in the business there. I've only been there a couple times, but still, whenever I was there, I saw Kirk Douglas, I saw Anne Reinking, I saw Donna McKechnie. I mean, I think that's fun to see, to be able to rub shoulders with the theater elite, you might say.
And everyone feels – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. I was just going to say, I can't think of other places where the where the kids go these days.
I think, honestly, I think like 40 years from now, they'll talk about Haswell Greens and they'll talk
I don't even know what that is, Rob.
Haswell Greens is a bar that's across from the August Wilson Theater that just opened up a couple of years ago. But they do like trivia night and they do like everyone gets up there and sings. Like, I think that's what they're going to – it'll be Haswell Greens. It'll be Mother Burger. It'll be –
That Worldwide Plaza, that's always a spot. Like that Blockheads, yeah. Like that's always Blockheads. You always see people there.
Oh yeah, and yeah. 50 years from now they'll be like, remember Blockheads? Right. And kids like, what's the Blockheads?
Yeah, that's right. Know?
So it's So that's maybe characters.
Oh yeah.
Maybe 54 Below.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, who knows? Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. But we were there.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes every day. After I go to Cosmic Diner, you'll see me drinking the characters.
We always do. We do go to characters. That's on 54th Street, and we love our characters.
They're so good to us there.
They are so lovely to us. Yeah, you're right.
They know us by name. They know our drinks.
I was just there yesterday. Literally was there yesterday.
They treat us
and they have great food. The kitchen is – it's not your average, you know, Irish pub. I mean, it's really good kitchen. So
54 Below. It's on 54th Street, right across from 54 Below between 7th and 8th.
And we record our interviews at Shetler. So oftentimes, if we have a little bit of time to kill, we'll just pop over to characters, say hi to Caroline, and get a little drink. Shout out to Caroline. She has no idea.
One time I walked in looking for you, and they're like, Kevin's not here. And
I'm I happened to meet once. They're like, oh, yeah, Rob just left us a little while ago. Yes, like, oh, okay. So he must be at Cosmic Diner.
Which I was. Cosmic Diner, folks, if you don't know Cosmic Diner, it's on 52nd and 8th. It's this diner that's open 24 hours a day. I'm there, I think, maybe every other day. But when I go in, I literally feel like Dolly Levi. Because I open the doors and they all go, my friend, how are you? You sit wherever you like. Sit wherever you want.
There's actually a sign that says Rob Schneider's office. It's basically his. And one time I walked up down 8th Avenue and I thought, oh my goodness, I haven't seen Rob in a while. Oh, I'm walking by Cosmic. I wonder if he's in there. There he is right there. And sure enough, there was Rob having his little dinner meeting right there. Cracked me up. Oh my God, he made me laugh.
That's me coming in the stairs.
Oh yes, definitely.
And Tony, the old waiter, old saying, parts a la Dolly. Hello, Dolly. You want mayo on the club, Dolly?
Oh boy! All right, I guess it's time for favorite thing.
What's your favorite thing?
I've got another sort of outside the box favorite thing, but it's something that I would want you to tell me about if I didn't know about it. And it's a very specific favorite thing because you have to purchase a very specific item. That item that you have to purchase is, if you remember, almost all of the later Sondheim. What?
It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a pyramid scheme.
You have to buy this. Well, unfortunately, it's not on the VHS, if you have a VHS, if anyone still has a VHS, and it's not on the digital. I even looked on YouTube, and no one has put it on YouTube either. This is the Sunday in the Park with George DVD. Now, on this DVD, which was released in 1999, when they were repackaging it, as was popular in the 90s, they did a full commentary as the special feature. But it wasn't like they played the audio and then they had people talking. They muted the audio of the video. So you don't have any of the songs or dialogue. You just have them pantomiming the movie. So if you buy it and you don't know Sunny the Park, which, first of all, where have you been? But second of all, watch it first with the 2.5 hours of the musical and then go back, go to the special feature. The full commentary is with Bernadette Peters, Manny Patinkin, Stephen Sondheim, and James Lapine. Now, that right off the bat, I just could say those names, and you're like, well, obviously I want to watch that. But what's interesting is that it's so fascinating to me because these were people that made this musical, and they recorded it in 1985. Bernadette Peters took a leave of absence from Song and Dance to come back and do this you know, the stage so it could be broadcast on television, and it was. And that's why a lot of us grew up watching the VHS of it. But now you have the people that were at the top of their art form back then. And now 10 to 15 years later, here they are talking about their process and being reflective of this time period that they'd spent 15 years earlier, where they really were at the peak of their careers. And they can be a little, they're a little bit more removed from it, and they can talk about it. Some things to think about while you're watching this, and just some anecdotes that I noticed that I think you should notice too. They're, because it's just the four of them in a room just chilling out, you definitely feel the arc of how comfortable they are with each other in the 2.5 hours that you're listening and watching that. Because some of them had not seen each other in a long time. Mandy Patinkin is more famous for his television work. Sondheim hadn't really had he had Passion, but he really hadn't had a hit show in a while. James Lapine has definitely had, you know, Into the Woods and all of that, and he was directing a lot now. And then Bernadette is just classic Bernadette. But they talk about the show that got started. Sondheim talks about the first song he wrote and how he found inspiration to write the song. They have a whole lengthy discussion about how hard it is to find the button of a song and how hard that is. And that James Lapine said he never really quite realized how a button and applause can stop the flow of the show and how that's a big challenge as a director. Sondheim confessed that finishing The Hat and Everybody Loves Louie, those buttons, he's still not happy with what he wrote, that he wishes that, you know, he had not quite found exactly how to end those songs. They talk about the challenges of Act One versus Act Two, because a lot of people that know Sending the Park will often say, some of the fans love the whole thing. Some people a little more critical say, well, I love Act One, but I don't really get Act Two. They talk about that, the difficulty of putting those together. Sondheim even talks about his writing process. Mandy Patinkin interrupts constantly. He's constantly interrupts everybody. They talk about how there was talk about making a film of this. And then at the very end, it's just actually very sweet and sentimental, because they talk about how special it was to hear the cast album for the very first time. And then by the end of it, once the credits start rolling, they're all crying. They're all so moved by it and the experience and the memories of it. And I don't think that there's quite anything like this, forcing four people that were a part of a show, the creators, the director and writers, and the actors to rewatch themselves. And sometimes, I mean, like Mandy will say things like, Bernadette, I remember that moment. And that was so, I could barely keep it together when we had that. You know, you get the insider point of view of their experience of putting it on. You guys, it's on eBay for $6. It's on Amazon brand new for $12. It is well worth it. It should be on your shelves no matter what. You get two for one. You get to have this amazing original production of Sunday in the Park, but then you also get to have this incredible commentary. It's absolutely incredible, and it's only on the DVD special features. So
that's fabulous. I remember that. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't have that DVD anymore, but now I want to go out and buy it.
I know. It's worth it.
Just to hear Mandy interrupt.
He did. He was just constantly
interrupt. Shut up.
All right, what do you got for me today, Rob?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Oh, I got one for you. Okay. This is a cult musical. A cult musical that only ran a few performances, but somehow has not one, but two recordings, and a book about it. Once again, this is a musical that only ran a couple of performances, but somehow has two recordings and a book about it.
Pick me, can I guess?
Kevin?
Late Night Comic.
It is Late Night Comic.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad we're talking about this. I have the book on my shelf. Thank you, Robbie Rosell. I've got to return that to you.
So the book, okay, so first of all, folks, Late Night Comic was a Broadway musical that was playing in the 1987-1988 season. It was by Brian Gary. The score was by Brian Gary. The idea was by Brian Gary, too. And the book was by a guy named Alan Nee.
Who did Little Women.
Now, there, like I said, there are two recordings of it. We're going to focus on one of them. The first recording was like a pseudo-cast recording done by Bruce Yeko, an original cast. Remember, we've had Bruce on as a guest before.
Yes.
That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is the 20th anniversary CD that came out in 2007 that featured just about everybody and their mother bringing this show back to life. If you don't know Late Night Comic, it's about, surprise, surprise, a stand-up comic, which was a pretty big topic in the 1980s, because you also had Late Night Comic, the musical. You also had Punchline, the movie with Tom Hanks and Sally Field.
Oh, I was going to say, Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down, Three Guys Naked with Scott Bakula. Yeah.
Which I really, really love. That's such a good show. I don't believe in heroes anymore.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
That's a good song.
Michael Rupert, right?
Yes, that's right.
He was in it or involved in it?
No, he did Mail, but... I thought it was Scott Bakula, but maybe not. Maybe it was
like Michael. Oh, well, we'll figure it out. Sorry, Michael. Okay. Anyway, so the show did not run very long. It only ran about 17 performances in 1987. Like I said, they had this little cast recording on the original cast label, didn't really do all that well. And then they did a 20th anniversary studio recording that includes former guests. Ready for this? We know these people. Chip Zine, Karen Ziemba, Tony Roberts, Howard McGillin, Julia Murney, Jason Grubb. And it was also orchestrations by Larry Hawkman. Also on the recording, Brian D'Arcy James, Seth Rudetsky, Mario Cantone. All of these funny people show up on it. There's also a book chronicling how the show went from it's going to be the biggest hit anyone's seen to only a few performances. And that book is by Brian Gary. The book is called We Bombed in New London, which is...
Read it, you guys. And it chronicles Brian's journey trying to get everyone to listen to the cast album and how he would, like, go on his moped, go to all the places and restock the six CDs. I'm telling you, it is a fascinating journey.
It is so interesting. And, like, the director was Philip Rose, who, like, if you know Philip Rose, he did Pearly and Amen Corner. Not the kind of guy that you think of when you're like, a stand-up comedy musical. It was produced by a 25-year-old guy who never produced a musical before and has not produced a musical since. They had the auditions at the comic strip in New York, and they were like, we're looking for a stand-up comic. They cast Robert Lapone, who was back in A Chorus Line. So... could have been Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld could have done it.
Could have been. Yes, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
You guys, that was going to be a favorite thing sometime is that book, because it is just such an interesting chronicle of one man's journey to get this musical done. And it was, and he succeeded. You're talking about this studio recording.
Yeah, and so like I said, you can listen to the first recording. It's okay, but really, you really want to listen to this 20th anniversary recording, which is available for you, I believe, on all of the platforms we've talked about previously. The orchestrations are fabulous. There's a lot of good material here, and like I said, you get to listen to a lot of our guests from the past talk and sing and bring Brian's show back to life for a little bit. And like we said, read the book We Bombed in New London, which is, I'm sorry, Brian, it's a very funny account of how this musical goes out of control. But I'm happy that it's been preserved. And what other show has not one but two recordings and a book written about it?
Yeah, not many. None I can think of. Yeah. So yeah, good one. That's a really, really good one.
So maybe we'll see it again at some point. So anyway, that's mine. Mine is Late Night Comic, the 20th anniversary recording.
Fantastic. And I am check out the Sunday in the Park with George special features commentary.
All right, that's it. Till next time.
Bye, everyone.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.